In 2003, Nike signed 13-year-old Freddie Adu to a seven-figure contract. But Freddie didn't live up to the hype. He has turned down every single documentary project looking closely at the details of his career. Until now.
People are going to look at everything you did because of the hype surrounding your arrival and what they think you can be.
I'm Grant Wall, and this is American Prodigy, Freddie Adu, from Blue Wire Podcasts.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome back, Packers fans, to the Pack-A-Day Podcast. Saturday crew, injury update ahead of Packers-Eagles. I am Jason Perrone of Game On Wisconsin and the Pack-A-Day Podcast, along with Mark Eckel of Packer Report and Paul Bredel of Dairyland Express and Game On Wisconsin. Mark, East Coast, yep. Give us the update. How are we looking?
Looking good. Weather, you want the weather update.
The weather update?
A little cooler. It is winter now, as so to speak, for here. But it's like, this week was actually like, what, Tuesday and Wednesday? I know people in Green Bay are going to laugh at me, but it was cold. I mean, it was like at night, it was like under 40.
Uh-huh.
So that's cold. Yeah,
that laughter that you hear is Paul Bredel in the Dairyland state of Wisconsin. But I agree with you, Mark. In Phoenix, it was in the mid to high 30s this morning when I woke up. And it's which is normal for December. People don't realize that it's, you know, we get some cold temperatures, and with the dry air, it actually stings differently than it does back where I'm from originally in the Midwest, which we get a little bit of humidity in there. I mean, but it's going to get up to 70 degrees in the Phoenix area today. So what's the high temperature going to be today, Mark?
59.
Okay.
Which has been, like I said, Tuesday, Wednesday were cold all day, and Thursday, Friday, today we're. Yesterday actually hit like 68 at one point. So it's at night it gets cold. When the sun goes down is when, as you know, being out in Sun Valley, when there's a big difference.
You know, that is kind of how that tends to work, isn't it? You know, don't we know? It's like when the sun goes down, the temperature drops.
Yeah. But I mean, drastically here.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a big difference. Well, there's a big temperature swing. Like I said, I mean, you know, you're doubling the temperature from the morning till now. And then Paul's laughing at us because I think the high today in the Green Bay area is 30. So he's like, okay, you guys woke up already warmer than I'm going to get all day today. Right, Paul?
Yeah, it's been pretty standard December weather here, mid 30s for highs, some sun, some clouds. Honestly, no complaints. It's not that bad.
I don't see any wind in the forecast for game day.
No, there isn't. So yeah, tomorrow's supposed to be similar, mid 30s, sunny and no wind, or minimal wind.
No wind, no weather, no rain, snow, none of that.
Perfect to put up 35 points.
Yeah. At least.
Right. Right. So Packers-Eagles at Lambeau Field. The Eagles this season, interestingly enough, at 3-7-1, still have a chance to win the NFC East. Mark, I'll just give you an open mic for a couple minutes because you covered this division for many years, and this division has turned into the kind of the dumpster of the NFL this season. One of these teams is going to the playoffs, and there's going to probably be another team, even though they've added a seventh spot, there's going to be a deserving team that's probably not going to get in because someone from the East has to go.
Yeah, deserving. I don't know about deserving.
But or have a better record.
There'll be a lot of teams better than whoever wins the East. I mean, I think the teams that are going to, it'll be the Bears and Vikings, and they don't deserve anything because they're the Bears and Vikings. So, I don't know how it got to this point. I mean, it's been bad the last 2 years, the NFC East. I mean, the Eagles went to the playoffs at 9-7 last year. They won the division at 9-9, which isn't good. I guess two years ago, it wasn't bad. That was the year the Eagles went to the playoffs, but Dallas, is that the year Dallas made the playoffs, but then got knocked out by somebody, New Orleans, maybe. When the Packers aren't in the playoffs, I don't pay as much attention. Dallas went to the playoffs 2 years ago. Am I wrong?
They probably did because they were good then, but I don't remember what we're talking after 2018.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I was same with you. As soon as Mike McCarthy left town, I kind of checked out. I was like, all right, it's not gonna happen.
Yeah, I started looking at the draft.
Yeah, not gonna happen this season.
It was bad last year. The NFC East. It was bad. The Eagles won it with 9 wins. No one else was over 500. Obviously, the Giants and Redskins were two of the worst teams in the league. Now this year, it's beyond bad. I mean, did you do your assignment there, Jason?
Nope, I sure didn't.
You still didn't do the assignment. Now I got to fail you.
That's fair. Grace, that's totally fair. That's totally fair.
I got to fail you. The paper was due. Paper was due this week. But I'm telling you, I think 5 wins the division, which is embarrassing.
Right.
Do you guys agree?
Well, the embarrassing thing about it, I'll turn it over to you. The embarrassing thing about it is that they're going to host somebody with 5 wins. That's the part I have the biggest issue with.
And that is definitely not fair to the other than what, whether it's Tampa Bay or one of the teams out west, Rams or Seattle or whoever. That's just not right for a team that's going to have 10 or 11 wins, having to go to 5-win Philadelphia or 5-win Washington or 5-win Giants. That's just not, it's not right. It's just that. And you know, I think I brought this up a couple weeks ago. When I used to cover the owners' meetings, that would get brought up every year. Should the home team be the team with the better record? If a wild card team, because there have been times where an 11-win team had to go to a 10-win team, or a 12-win team went to an 11, whatever. It's happened more than once. And they would bring it up, and the coaches, I would talk to coaches, and they would always be like, yeah, we think we could change that rule. But when the vote would come down, it would always get voted down, and they would just keep that the wild card team is on the road. So that the owners and general managers and the people on the committees didn't feel the same way as the coaches did, that the team with the better record deserved to be home. Now, this, after this debacle this year, and especially, could you imagine? Because listen, we've all seen football games. We've all seen, you know, the wrong team win sometimes, right? Mm-hmm. Can you imagine the 5-11 Giants or whoever knocking off Tampa? The league wants Brady against the Giants, right, in the first round. Isn't that what the NFL wants? Brady one more time against the Giants.
But it's why, if it's not the Eli Giants, what difference does it make?
Well, it's still the Giants. It's still Brady lose. If Brady loses to the Giants again,
they want the storyline.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I'm just saying that I would be upset if I was a fan of a. If the Packers were a wild, you know, if say the Vikings were really good this year and the Packers were going to be that 5 seed, I'd be upset them having to go to one of those places. Although this year there won't be any fans in the stands probably anyway, so it's not as bad as in the past, I guess.
Right. Paul, while we're talking about the NFC East hosting a playoff game and all of that other stuff, before we get into the Packers injury report, your thoughts, your latest thoughts.
I see both sides. I mean, yeah, if you have 10 or 11 wins, obviously I'd want the Packers to be at home. If they did end up as the wild card because of, you know, a 5-6 win team getting in. But there's also the other side of the coin where you get to go play a 5-win Eagles team or a 6-win Giant team. So, I mean, I wouldn't be terribly upset if that was somehow the Packers' first round draw, and it's not going to be this season, but in our example, because, I mean, the Eagles, Giants, Cowboys, that whole division is just not good. So I see both sides.
I mean, the question, like, and I started, how did it happen? And we could talk about, because the Packers play an NFC East team this week, Philadelphia. It's amazing, like, how that could happen, that the whole division could all go bad at the same time. I mean, I guess there's a different reason for each team being bad, but it's this crazy coincidence that all 4 teams are at their low point at the same time.
Well, we've seen it happen before with some other divisions in football. Sometimes it's just the way.
Never this bad.
Just chalk it up to coincidence, basically.
Well, I guess maybe not, but I mean, I remember back in 2010, the Seahawks only won 7 games and they hosted the Saints. Yeah.
So that was
7. I mean, I'm just going through the playoff machine and I'm already at week 16 and the Giants are still winning this division with 4 leading this division with 4 victories.
Yeah, that's my, see, you're doing, you're doing your assignment.
Yeah, I'm doing it on the fly, but I'm also not taking into account any weird stuff that could happen.
Well, you're right.
Between now and then,
form. If form holds, the winner of that division is going to have 5 wins.
Right. Yep. So yeah, it's well,
and they're all underdogs this week.
Well, Dallas by week six. Dallas by week 16. If they beat Philadelphia the way I've got it shaking out, I guess it's going to depend, because by week 16, I have Washington beating Carolina at home, and I have Dallas beating Philadelphia at home. Okay. And then if everything else holds the way it's supposed to, Washington becomes the division leader at 5-10.
Okay.
Because I have the Giants, I have the Giants losing at Baltimore that week.
Yeah, sure.
And then Philly and Dallas play each other, so
one of them has to win. Right?
One of them, yeah, or tie. And then in week 17, I guess I'll ask you guys in week 17, Cowboys at Giants. Who you taking there?
You got to give it to the home team, right?
And then Washington at Philly.
Give it to the home team again.
Yeah, when you got bad teams playing each other, pick the home team.
So then the Giants. Okay, so to finish this assignment, the Giants would win the division at 5-11, and they'd be the fourth seed, and they would host.
Tampa or a West team.
Well, and this week, does anybody have confidence that Atlanta, a slightly rejuvenated Falcons team, is going to be able to beat the Taysom Hill led Saints? Because if the Saints lose, that helps Green Bay.
2020 has already reshaped how we work, and it's almost over. Businesses across the globe are challenged to be their most efficient, which means every hire is critical. Indeed is here to help. Indeed is the number one job site in the world, with more total visits than any other job site, according to Comscore. Indeed helps you find quality candidates quickly, so you can focus on hiring the person you need to keep your business going. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need. You can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. And now, Indeed's new way of matching you with candidates instantly delivers a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job criteria that you can contact the moment you sponsor a job, making Indeed the only job site that can move as fast as you do. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through December 31st. Term and conditions apply.
Oh, yeah. It definitely helps Green Bay. But I wouldn't bet on Atlanta. Let's put it that way.
No. Because as long as...
it could. It's a rivalry game. So, there's a chance. It's in New Orleans. But I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of teams I'd rather... I think the Falcons have a better chance of beating the Saints than a lot of other teams would. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not confident.
If the Packers, the Saints, the Rams, and Seattle all win their games this week, then Seattle leapfrogs and becomes the one seed at 12-4. Not 12-4. Let's see. You know what it does on the playoff machine is if you go through all the weeks and then you go back to a previous week, it doesn't adjust the record. So, but it would obviously help because they're currently the top seed. So if Atlanta can pull off the upset and Green Bay wins, which they should, then here we are. We're at that fun time of year. So as far as the injury report goes, fortunately, guys, it's a small list this week. Chris Barnes is off the COVID reserve list, but he is listed as questionable with a calf injury. He was limited all week at linebacker, but still no A.J. Dillon. If Barnes is able to play, he gives a boost to the inside of the defense there.
I think he's their best inside linebacker.
I think he was their preferred starter when Kirksey was hurt, right?
He's better than Kirksey.
So, and you could do a lot worse than Christian Kirksey, but I think, like we've said many times before on this show, if you've got players playing in the right spot on the depth chart and the amount of snaps that correlate to their spot in the depth chart, you're in better shape. So if Chris Barnes is getting more snaps on the inside than a Kirksey or a Kamal Martin, who's still learning and up and coming, then that's not a bad place to be. But Barnes finally off the COVID reserve list. So as far as that goes and defending the Eagles, you know, the one thing we have to talk about with the Eagles is just how bad the Carson Wentz has been and how bad the protection of Carson Wentz has been. He's been hit and sacked more times by, I think, a long, long margin than any other quarterback in the league. And this was a team that was just in a Super Bowl 3 years ago. So they've fallen quite a ways. And Mark, I don't recall when was the last year you covered the team?
The year before the Super Bowl, 2016.
So, you know, as far as the regression goes, you know, Carson Wentz, is it the protection and the fact that he's not getting any protection, or is Carson Wentz kind of broken, as they're saying?
Well, there's a lot of things that's gone on there. Part of it is, like you said, their offensive line, which is, and I don't like to use injuries as an excuse for anything, because it's your job to get better players to come in. And the Packers have had all kind of injuries on the offensive line, and their offensive line has responded well. You know, but the Eagles' preferred offensive line going into the season was Andre Dillard, their first-round pick from last year at left tackle. He got hurt in camp, missed, and hasn't played all season. He's out for the year. They lost. Now, I don't think this guy's very good, but he was their – Isaac Samalo was at guard. He's been out most of the year. Again, people are using him as a, you know, he's out. And my thing was, well, he's not that good anyway. But, and now they're out. Now they're without a guy who is very good. Their right tackle, Lane Johnson, is on injured reserve. He's been in and out of the lineup most of the year. They brought back Jason Peters, who, I don't know why. I mean, it's a shame. The guy's probably a Hall of Fame tackle once he's eligible. But coming back now, it's like he's 30, whatever, 38. He's just not the guy he was, and he's hurt them more than he's helped them, actually. Now they have McGuard. He's not very good anymore, let's just be honest. So they've had problems on the offensive line, and that's been a big part of Carson Wentz's bad numbers. But part of it is Carson Wentz just not – and that he's been – now keep in mind, too, he's been hurt twice – since that Super Bowl year. He didn't play in the Super Bowl. He tore his ACL that year. Then he had a broken bone in his back the following year. So he's taken some major injuries, and I think that's affected him, not 100%, but you know, it's taken its toll on him. And then this is the one that doesn't get talked about enough. They've given him a different off. Like Frank Reich was the Eagles' offensive coordinator the year they went to the Super Bowl and won. I think we've learned that Frank Reich's a pretty good coach since then with the job he's done in with the Colts, right?
So, yep.
I think Frank Reich might have had a lot to do with the Eagles' Super Bowl year. I really don't take. I don't want to take anything away from former Packer backup quarterback Doug Peterson, but Frank Reich, I think, might have been the brains of the operation here. I really do. So losing him was, I think, a big blow. And then they replaced him with a guy named Mike Groh. That didn't work out very well because they got rid of him. And now this year, the Eagles did something that it's typical Eagles. It's so classic Eagle organization. We're smarter than everybody. So just 31 other teams have an offensive coordinator. Well, no. We're not going to have an offensive coordinator. We're going to have a passing game guy and a running game guy and a quarterback guy and a consultant. They have like five guys. They have Doug Peterson, who's the head coach and calls the plays and is a quarterback himself. They have Press Taylor, they all have fancy titles. I don't know all the titles, but Press Taylor is there, who was a quarterback coach at one time, but now he is. Deuce Staley is like the running game coordinator, assistant head coach, whatever. Then they bring in this guy from Denver, Scarangelo, to work with. Now, help me out here. Has Denver had a good quarterback since John Elway?
It's been a minute.
Yeah. So why would
Peyton Manning?
You don't coach Peyton Manning, and guess what? Peyton Manning wasn't that good when he was in Denver. He was still smart, but he wasn't that good. So why do you bring in a guy from Denver to work with your quarterback? But they did that. They bring, and then they bring back another old former Packer assistant from way, way back, Marty Morningwig. Now, maybe his job is to call heads or tails when they go overtime. I don't know. But but they have five, they have all these voices. And that can't be good for Carson. It's never good to have a quarterback overcoached, you know. And I think that's been part of the problem, that nobody knows who's doing what, and I don't think they're on the same page. And it's not just Wentz. I mean, their receivers haven't played as well as they had in the past. Like you said, the offensive line's a mess. It's just, yeah, I'm watching it from the outside now, obviously, but I still talk to some people up there, and it's a weird situation. And I'm going to say this as well, because I've said this a few times to other people. That Super Bowl might have been the all-time one-year wonder. I'm trying to think of another Super Bowl winner that was bad the year before and then not that good after. Usually you either build up to a Super Bowl, you know, like you make the playoffs and then you go a round deeper and then you get to the championship game and then you get to the Super Bowl, right, or whatever. You know, it's an ascending type platform. Eagles didn't do that. They were bad. They had a losing record for two straight years. The year, and then they got to the Super Bowl. Now, the other side is your New England Patriots way back when. They came out of nowhere, went to the Super Bowl, upset the Rams, but then stayed good. They were, you know, then they went to, you know, they won the NFC, or I'm sorry, the AFC East, like every year after that for the next 117 years, whatever it's been. So you can do it that way. Well, the Eagles didn't do that either. After they won a Super Bowl, they went back to being a nine-win team. Which, nine wins isn't good. It's okay.
Were the Giants good? Were the Giants, how were they between 86 and 90? Did they dip and then come up in 90?
They would go up and down. They would go up and down. They'd be good, bad, good, bad. Like they were always bad the year after they won the Super Bowl. For some reason, I guess they just had that Super Bowl hangover. But then they'd respond the next year. You know what I'm saying?
That was the only thing I could think of, was maybe that 90 Giants team that won because Scott Norwood couldn't kick a field goal with Buffalo.
It wasn't the easiest field goal in the world, but no, because they were always in the playoffs. I mean, they were a playoff team.
Okay.
I remember covering them the one year. I think they lost to the 49ers one year. Like I said, the Giants would dip the year after for some reason, but then they would bounce back. But no, I don't think there's ever been a team. I think I looked it up last year. There's never been a team that just kind of come out of nowhere and then went back to nowhere.
Well, I mean, look, the way things are going, the Eagles may possibly get a chance to represent the NFC East in the playoffs. But as someone as we're getting ready to preview this, and Paul, you and I, a little bit later today at Game On Wisconsin, are going to do Pulse of the Pack. We'll be flying without our usual host, Jake Westendorf, who's been called into duty today. But Paul, as far as Carson Wentz goes, like your theory, just in the little bit of everything that you've written coming up to leading up to the game and you know, what's going on in Philadelphia with the quarterback?
I mean, a big part of it is the offensive line play. As Mark said, they've been hampered by injuries, but they also just haven't played well either. And then Carson Wentz hasn't done them many favors because he's been holding onto the ball very long as well. The Eagles' offensive line, they've given up the most pressures this season and the most sacks per game. So for a Green Bay Packers pass rush that has been not the same as last year, I guess is how I'll put it. They just aren't generating the same amount of pressures. This is another game for them to try to get right and get back on track. As they did last week against Chicago, they had their fourth most pressures. So another good opportunity for them. As far as Carson Wentz goes, some of the stuff that I've read each week, I dive into the opposing teams, some articles that are written just to try to get a better idea of what's going on. And one of the main things that I saw popping up over and over again was that even when Carson Wentz has time, he's still struggling. Of his 15 interceptions, which leads the league, 10 of them have come without any sort of pressure on him. And the big contributor that I've seen anyways is that he's locking into his first read. And he's not going through his progression. So he's throwing a lot of, you know, passes that he shouldn't, a lot of contested passes, and they're turning into interceptions. So Wentz himself is just struggling, and I don't think that anybody right now, including those in the Eagles organization, has the answer as to why. And as a result, this Eagles offense has struggled. You don't see good teams with bad offensive lines and poor quarterback play. It's just plain and simple. But a few things. I mean, this is the NFL. The Eagles offense gets paid to put up points. So a few things to keep your eyes on, Packer fans, is one, Miles Sanders. He has 600 rushing yards this season, and he's missed three games. He's averaging, I think, almost 6 yards per carry as well. And last year against Green Bay, he had 72 yards on 11 carries, so almost 7 yards per carry. So that's something to watch out for. We know the Packers' run defense has still struggled this year, and that's one way that the Eagles can keep it close. Another thing to keep your eyes on is the Eagles' tight ends. Dallas Goedert, the last 2 weeks, he's got 150 receiving yards, 2 touchdowns. Richard Rodgers has found the end zone 2 times over the last 2 weeks. And Zach Ertz is back. He was back at practice a week ago, and then this week they took him off IR. So those are two things to keep your eyes on. I know the Eagles' offense isn't very good because of, you know, as we've talked about, the offensive line playing Wentz, but Miles Sanders and those tight ends, you know, they can still do some damage, and that's one way that this game can stay closer than what it ultimately should.
Yeah, that's what, you know, that can, both of those things that you wrote up, Paul, are things that really have me more worried or concerned than I should be playing a team that's 3-6-1, because if the Eagles are smart, and I hate to say they haven't been this smart this year, they got to ride Sanders. I mean, you know, that could make Wentz a little, a good running game could always help a struggling quarterback.
Yeah, against Seattle last week, I think they only gave him 6 carries.
Yeah, they threw the ball 40-something. That's part of the problem. They're Wentz is not playing well. We made that clear. Some of those picks, though, like you had said, he threw 10 of them were without press. Some of them, his receivers haven't been very good either. Like last week, the one he threw in the end zone, the tight end ran the wrong route. The tight end broke inside, and he was supposed to break outside, and Wentz is going to throw the ball where it's supposed to be, and instead of the tight end being there, the safety was there. So it looked like he threw it right to the safety. But so there's been a couple of things like, again, I'm not here to defend Carson Wentz. I'm just saying that it's not all those interceptions aren't his fault. But anyway, if the Eagles were smart this week, they'd come out with a run first. I mean, any team, if I'm any team playing the Packers, my game plan is I'm going to run until they stop me, because they don't stop many people.
No, they don't. But the Packers' best run defense this year has been their offense. I mean, they're putting teams in the hole in majority of these games, 2-3 scores.
Well, the one team that right stuck off the with bat. It, one team that stuck with it, and they were down 14-3 at halftime, was Frank Reich and his Indianapolis Colts, who said, you know what, we're still going to run. They ran the first, 9 plays in the second half and scored a touchdown. Now it's 14-10. So I would run until the Packers stopped me. That's how I would attack the Packers. And if I did throw, I'd throw over the middle to my tight end, because the Packers, they defend the outside pretty well with their corners. But again, they've had problems over the middle.
Yeah, and they're getting carved up there.
I'm concerned way more than my go back or my go-to to calm me down about this game is, like you said, the Packers offense. Eagles defense has been okay. They actually played pretty well last week against Seattle, but I think Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams and Aaron Jones and everybody else could find a lot of holes in this Eagle defense. And one of their best players is questionable this week as we get back to the injuries.
Yeah, then, and I assume that you're talking about Darius Slay, the cornerback.
Yep. Yeah, and I believe, what did they list him as?
Questionable. He was limited Thursday, Friday. A calf.
Yeah, they're calling it a calf, but I think it's Devontae-itis. I believe he has a case, and it goes around. A lot of cornerbacks get this, but I think he has Devontae-itis because the last 4 times he's faced Davante Adams. And again, I don't know if he covered him every single play, but he usually did. He kind of, you know, when he was with the Lions, he kind of did match up with Adams. Well, in 4 games, Devontae has 29 catches for 317 yards and 4 touchdowns.
And it was Lazard who ended up beating the Lions anyway. So too much attention on Adams, and Alan Lazard, welcome to the party.
The wait is finally over. Football is back. You might not be at a game this year, but you can be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You could get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division, and championship futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline online today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use the promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Well, Devontae had 9 for 140 one time against them, and then 7 for 93 another time in the last two of the last four.
The Eagles under Jim Schwartz, who's the D coordinator, they play a lot of man coverage. So Slay last week, his primary responsibility was DK Metcalf, and Metcalf went nuts.
I think Metcalf's going to go nuts on a lot of corners before his career is over with.
And so is Devontae.
But Slay, Slay is still a good cornerback. I mean, speaking of that pass rush and the Eagles protecting Carson Wentz, Za'Darius Smith listed as questionable with an ankle, but according to head coach Matt LaFleur, there is a good chance Za'Darius Smith will play. He actually didn't practice at all on Friday, was limited on Thursday, and wasn't even listed on Wednesday. So Z should be in there and have a chance to get after the quarterback. And it's another game where the pass rush, you know, let's get some reps. You know, Preston Smith is going to come alive a little bit. I mean, you can say what you want about the level of competition, but I also say win the games you're supposed to win that are in front of you. And the Packers finally took it to a lesser Chicago Bears team and did what they were supposed to do, which was win a big game last week. So as far as the other injuries go, it's pretty light this week. I'll start with Tyler Irvin. We talked about him a little bit. Questionable with the rib injury. Now, the Packers did sign Tavon Austin. Tavon Austin's not listed on the injury report, and Austin is obviously primarily going to be the kick returner and in there for special teams and punt return as well. But Tyler Irvin coming back, we've talked about it many, many times before. It's just another aspect of the offense that helps everything churn. Now, Fletcher Cox was listed on the injury report. He doesn't have a status, so he will play, but he didn't practice Wednesday or Thursday and was limited on Friday. He's got a neck injury. The front for the Eagles, as far as the run game goes and trying to get Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams going, that's where the Eagles have not been bad. You know, as much as they've struggled this season, they haven't been bad there. So as far as getting the running game going, Paul, with Fletcher Cox in there, you know, what are your thoughts on whether or not the Packers are going to be able to run the football and kind of dictate the tempo?
Yeah, it's going to be an important part. Like you said, last week they caught a break with Akeem Hicks not being there, and you saw there were some big holes between the tackles that Green Bay was able to take advantage of. But I did like that LaFleur got back to running the ball last week. I think between Jones and Williams, they had around 32, 34 carries, something like that, way more than what they had previously against Jacksonville and Indianapolis. So that was good to see, but this, like you said, this Eagles defensive front's no joke. Brandon Graham leads the team with 7 sacks, but they have 3 other guys who all have at least 4, including Cox with 5.5. And they're also 7th in the NFL in pressure rate. So John Runyon Jr. making his first NFL start at left guard against his dad's team. He's gonna have his hands full with Fletcher Cox there in the middle. And as always, the name of the game in Green Bay is keeping Aaron Rodgers upright, which this unit, even without Lindsley, has shown that they are very, very capable of doing. This group's been excellent this year, especially when you take into account all the shuffling that's had to take place with injury. So, Mark, I know you wrote about this, but kudos to Brian Gutekunst because he deserves the credit for orchestrating and putting that team together, as well as Adam Stenovich, the offensive line coach. He's flying under the radar, but this group's performed quite well. And as you know, stout and as impressive as the Eagles' defensive front has looked, Packers have faced a lot of good defensive fronts this year, and the offensive line has come out on top for the most part, really outside of the Tampa Bay game. So until I see otherwise, I still expect them to be able to find room on the ground, give Aaron Rodgers the time that he needs.
Yeah, I think the Packers game plan this week, yeah, you have to run the ball a little bit, but I think that they're going to have to pass first to open up the run. Like do it the opposite way.
The old Mike Holmgren, West Coast offense, exactly. Yeah,
pass because you can throw on the Eagles. I think if Aaron Rodgers has time, I think he'll have a big day because the Eagles secondary, their linebackers are average at best. The secondary, Slay's good, and it, but he is hurting now too, and may or may not play. And Adams has had his way with him in the past. So, and then the rest of the secondary is just okay at best. I mean, I could see big days from Valdez Scantling, Lazard, the tight ends. St. Brown played well last week for the, probably had his best game ever. So I think the Packers will move the ball, and I think you can wear as good as the Eagles' front is. They tend to wear down, and part of that is the Eagles' offense. Paul, you said, you know, the best thing the Packers have is their offense. Well, the worst thing for the Eagles' defense has been their offense, because their defense is just on the field way too long, and those big guys wear down. Fletcher Cox, Brandon Graham, they're not the same guys in the fourth quarter that they are in the first quarter. So I'd like to see the Packers get a lead, you know, win the time of possession battle, keep that Eagle defense out there, and in the fourth quarter, the Eagles will be throwing their arms up saying, all right, let's just get out of here.
And something else to consider, you know, when you think of the Packers, you go, well, they have Aaron Rodgers, they have Devontae Adams, they have Aaron Jones. You know who else they have? Matt LaFleur. Yeah. Matt LaFleur and his play calling, what he schemes up for each opponent, that's becoming, you know, that's a huge factor in their successes here. And one of, I can't remember who it was either one of the Bears cornerbacks or safeties this week. He said that, you know, didn't matter what they called, what adjustments they made. It's like the Packers offense knew what was coming. And that's a credit to Matt LaFleur, obviously the players on the field, but what he's done this year, you know, taking this group from year one to year two, his play calling ability, everything like that. It's been beautiful and fun to watch.
Yeah, they've churned. That's what I was saying. They've churned. And I think I mentioned I wouldn't mind MVS coming back after a tough finish against the Colts and putting up a nice week against the Bears. And he did. Played well, and no surprise at all. I mean, MVS is going to be a important part of the offense down the stretch. And hey, listen, if this is going to kind of be his light bulb moment, or, you know, whatever that's going to be, it may not be that, but every receiver had kind of that game where it was like, wow, they are the guy. You know, like, I think for me, Jordy's game was the Super Bowl 45. He was good that season, but like that game, he had no fear and became a playmaker. And, you know, he had some struggles earlier that season. And I think he was still returning kicks, and he had a couple fumbles and some of that stuff. And then he just became steady Eddie from that point on. I would not mind seeing that from Marquez Valdes-Scantling, but he did have that nice, Mark, like you said, he had a nice bounce back game against the Bears. And hopefully that stacks and adds as we're moving into the playoffs. But
I was going to say one other thing I wanted to add. We kind of puffed up the Eagles defensive front, and for good reason. It's a solid unit, but the defensive units that the Packers have gone up against the last 2 weeks in Chicago and Indianapolis, they are much better than what the Eagles are overall. And they put up 70 points plus in the 8 quarters against those two teams. So
go ahead, Mark.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say that's the one thing I don't want to see. The only thing I was going to say is the only one thing I don't want to see then is the Packers struggle against the defense they shouldn't struggle against. They should be able to do what they want on offense.
Right, but they got to be on the field. That's why I'm worried about. If I'm Doug Peterson, I'm running the ball. I'm running until I don't care. Third and four, I might run. Mm-hmm. I mean, why put Wentz in? Wentz isn't going to win the game for you. If the Eagles pull this upset, it's not going to be because all of a sudden Wentz, I don't think, you know, and their receivers turn it. No, it's going to be Miles Sanders breaking a long run, or Miles Sanders gaining, you know, whatever many yards on averaging, like as Paul said, averaging 6 yards a carry. That's crazy numbers. Now, Miles Sanders will put the ball on the ground. That's happened this year. I forget what game it was the Eagles played. I think it was against the Browns. The Eagles get the ball, start the game. They drive right down the field running the ball. Sanders is having a great start to the game. They get down to first and goal, and Sanders fumbled. Browns recovered. I think they went down and kicked the field goal. Eagles get the ball back, and Peterson, like a lot of coaches, after a guy fumbles, he said, I like the team that goes right back to it. You know, a guy drops a pass, well, you throw him the ball the next play. I like that. But some coaches, and I don't blame Mike, I'm not going to rip a coach for doing it. Sanders fumbled. Well, guess what? You didn't see a lot of running after that. You didn't see a lot of Sanders after that. And the Eagles also lost the game. So, that Monday night game last week, the Eagles didn't get a first down until like 5 minutes left in the second quarter. Yet they hung in there with Seattle a little bit because their defense, Their defense did do a good job against the Seahawks. I'm not big on the Seahawks, though. Are you guys high on the Seahawks?
Their defense is not going to – I mean, it's as far as Russell Wilson and the DK Metcalf and Lockett connection can take them. Their defense just – they're going to have to play on the road. I mean, there's a chance the way that it shook out, if it happens the way it happens, there's a chance that Seattle grabs the one seed. And in that case, yes, even in an empty CenturyLink field, if you're playing at home, then, you know, that adds a little more credence to they could be more dangerous than we think.
Well, I'm just saying, of all the teams, the Packers, and I'm looking too far ahead here, but if the Packers are going to be in the NFC Championship game, I'd rather them play Seattle than New Orleans or the Rams, even the Rams.
Agreed.
Or maybe even like, and you see them, and they might be falling apart now a little bit, but I was just scared of Arizona a little bit.
Yeah. Arizona's not a team you want to play. Tampa's not a team you want to play, even though they're not playing as well lately.
Right.
I mean, any...
I would take my chances with Seattle. I really would.
Any of these teams... Any of these...
That awful game that I'm not going to even talk about mention. The Packers have owned Seattle. Yeah. They've handled Seattle pretty well since that game.
I think the home team has won every game since then, including that one.
That's what I was going to say. Green Bay has benefited from having the...
Had it been Green Bay most of the time since then?
Yeah, I think they've only played in Seattle once, right?
Yeah, and then 2 years... Yeah, and the Seahawks won that game.
Unfortunately. Unfortunately.
I'm just not as high... I think Pete Carroll's a very good coach. I think Russell Wilson's a very good quarterback. I watch them against the Eagles, I'm like... They're letting the Eagles hang around. Like that, this game shouldn't even be close, and it was. So I don't know. Maybe I just had that. I shouldn't base everything off one game, but that's the only time I've really seen them. The whole game. No, I saw them lose to Arizona too. So maybe it's just me. Whenever I watch Seattle, they don't play well.
Well, Arizona beats Seattle once a year, and it's usually in Seattle. And it's whether the Cardinals are good or not, they win that game. But they already won the game in Arizona, so. You know, I guess we'll see. I mean, a lot of things are going to happen over this next month. The Packers, like you said, Mark, many times, it's true. The Packers just need to win.
Right. Everything else will shake.
Just win your games. Everything else will shake. Take care of itself. So, speaking of the offensive line, yeah, Corey Linsley's out. So this is the first game that he's missed, or first start that he's missed in a really long time. Maybe since he became a starter, because he's got a really long streak of games played, but he won't play. He's got a knee injury. The one thing we've seen is that the Packers have had to shuffle this season with David Bakhtiari missing some time, Billy Turner, Rick Wagner have mixed in and out, but they have gotten it done with whatever combo that they put out there. Lucas Patrick's playing well. Billy Turner, when he has played well. When you got Rick Wagner in there sparingly, that's a better recipe. Bakhtiari's back. And John Runyon Jr., let's not get too ahead of ourselves here, because it's different when you're the regular starter and you know, can you put together 5 or 6 weeks of solid play? But he's going to get his chance, and he has not played poorly at all in relief duty. So the Packers offensive line, and Peter Bukowski of Locked On Packers broke it down earlier this week. The Packers pass blocking is best in the league, according to, I think it was, those were Pro Football Focus metrics, if I'm not mistaken, but they're performing better than any other offensive line. So the Eagles front might be good, but the Packers offensive line would seem to be one of the most equipped groups to handle that and keep Aaron Rodgers clean. And I think if Aaron Rodgers is clean, he didn't get sacked at all against the Bears, the Eagles are going to have a hard time stopping Green Bay from hitting that 30 mark again. Mark, I don't know what your thoughts are.
Oh, I agree 100%. Yeah, like I said, I'm not – the only way the Packers don't put up a lot of points is if they're not on the field. Like I said, they got to do something to stop the run this week. I don't want to see that two man front with the, you know, the nickel dime linebackers in there. No, I want to see the big boys out there. You know, if Wentz is going to beat me with his receivers, so be it. Don't let that run game dictate the game. And the Eagles, you know, you can't let the Eagles have, you know, 14 play, 9 minute drives. They eat up, you know what I'm saying? They eat up the clock. I want Rodgers out there. So, you know, put the big boy. I want three big linemen. I want Martin and out there, linebacker. You know, Alexander and King could handle the Eagles wide receivers. They really, I mean, that shouldn't be a problem at all, right?
I would think. I would think, and you know, the guy that's throwing the football is not playing well either, so that helps.
Yeah, so I'm saying I'm trusting my corners to handle the Eagles wide receivers. I don't need to play zones. I don't need help back there. Let them handle their guys and stop the run. I want second and nine. You know? I want third and eight.
Well, don't play that frustrating soft zone either, like you said.
Yeah, go after them.
Don't go there.
You're the better team.
Yeah, don't give any help to a team. You know, this is the time of the season where you got to kick teams when they're down, because that one seed is very valuable. There's only one team that's going to get a bye week going into the playoffs. And, you know, for once in our life, I would love to see the Packers host an NFC Championship game. They haven't done that since after the 2007 season, and that could have turned out differently, or didn't. That was Brett Favre's last game as a Packer. Aaron Rodgers hasn't had...
Ice Bowl, too.
Aaron Rodgers hasn't had an NFC Championship game at Lambeau Field, and this is a season where they have a prime opportunity. I mean, look, the Saints don't have Drew Brees for a couple weeks, so, you know, as much as we want to respect the Saints, all it's going to take is for them to, you know, Drew Brees not being their quarterback, for them to come down to earth a little bit and lose a game that they shouldn't.
They never lose without Brees. That's the problem.
Yeah, well...
They're 7-0 without Brees.
It helps that there's a couple teams in that division that are struggling, in Atlanta and Carolina, and they're going to see both of them along the way. But a lot of things can happen. You know, a lot of things can happen between now and then. By the way,
Lindsley hasn't missed a game since midway through the 2016 season.
Yeah, he's played a lot of games.
So he didn't miss a game.
So the big thing, so then the big thing is the silver lining in that is that the depth on the offensive line has played well for the Packers. And then the other part of that conversation comes after the season, which is Corey Linsley's a free agent. The Packers are going to have to prioritize what they're going to do with the guys that they still have left to re-sign. You've got Kevin King, Aaron Jones, Jamal Williams. They've got Clark and Bakhtiari locked up. There's a couple of other guys that are going to be free agents as well. So is Corey Linsley... Because they can move Elgton Jenkins to center and not miss a beat there. And if John Runyon Jr. and Lucas Patrick are going to be good for at least the next couple of years, and the Packers want to continue to draft and reload the depth on their offensive line, Corey Linsley might just be priced out of Green Bay. Because if he's healthy enough to play, some team is going to pay him very well. I just don't know if the Packers can afford to be that team. But I think it's a good problem to have scenario. And Paul, I'll start with you. At this point right now, with the small sample size that we have, if the offensive line plays the way it does, are you bring Lindsley back, or are you, hey, it's going to have to, you know, be at a team-friendly price, or unfortunately, Corey Lindsley's probably playing somewhere else in 21?
I'll answer that question two different ways. If I was told that the Packers, of the free agents that they have pending that you mentioned, if they could bring one of them back, they can work the salary in, pay him what he's worth, who am I picking? I'm picking Corey Lindsley. Is that realistically going to happen? No, I don't see how Corey Linsley's coming back. Next offseason, because of the salary cap being reduced, we're going to see teams handing out shorter contracts with, you know, less money attached. But I think Lindsley's going to be one of those players who commands a pretty hefty-sized one, and deservedly so. He's been, you know, arguably the best center in the game this season. You guys already mentioned his durability, not having missed a game in a number of years. And I think coming into this year, of his six NFL seasons, three of them, he's played 100% of the offensive snaps. I mean, he's durable. He's one of the best in the game. He's going to get paid. And with the Packers cap situation, which is already was already going to be tight before the cap reduction and is now even tighter, I just don't see how they can afford him. Plus, the way the offensive line has played, the combination that we've seen the last few weeks with Jenkins at center, Runyon at left guard, I think that's what we're going to see next year, and they've performed well. So, unfortunately, I don't see a way that Lindsley can come back.
Mark, what's your take on Corey Lindsley in 2021 at present clip?
Yeah, I don't see him coming back. I never thought. I agree with everything Paul said. Great player, arguably the best center in the game. But now he's been durable, but now this year he had the back that acted up a couple times. Now he has a knee. He is going to turn 30. The Packers, I think when the Packers drafted Elgton Jenkins last year, this team, keep in mind, this front office, this scouting department, they look ahead. They're always thinking two steps down the road. They really do. I think when they drafted Jenkins, they said, all right, well, we'll play him a guard because we need a guard this year, but his future is going to be our. They drafted him, I think, knowing Lindsley's contract was up and we're not re-signing Lindsley. We're not giving him a third contract. And I think that was the plan all along, and Jenkins certainly hasn't done anything to change that plan. So, yeah, in a perfect world, you keep everybody, right? And everybody's happy and they take discount deals to stay. But Corey Lindsley's going to get paid. There's plenty of teams that will have cap room, could probably use a good center. And that'll be that. I mean, and Jenkins will be the center next year. Hopefully Runyon keeps it going and becomes a good guard. You got Patrick. You also have the kid from Indiana, Stepniak, who they liked, who a lot of people liked. That he, you knew when you drafted him that he wasn't going to play this year, but he could be a good. I think the starters will be Patrick and Runyon, but you have him as a good number three guard. Maybe you could still bring Lane Taylor back on a minimum deal to be a backup guard.
Isn't Jake Hansen still on the practice squad too? They haven't. Didn't they bring him back?
I think he was on the injured practice squad or something.
Well, if you're looking ahead,
but he's still on the team.
Yeah, if you're looking ahead to next year and beyond, you would hope that he's ready to go by training camp. He's another guy that we still don't know could also
and
pan out.
Alignment in next year's draft, I'm sure. They have 10 picks next year. I'm sure in the fifth or sixth round they'll draft another lineman. So, yeah, as much as I'd like to keep Lindsley, they have the resources to let him go. Whereas opposed to a Kevin King, if they do let him go, and they may because the opposite of Lindsley, he's not durable. So if you let him go, it's because of that. But you really don't have, I don't think you have his replacement on the roster as we speak. So, if you let a corner go, you're probably drafting a corner very high next year.
And you know what? I was going to say, what's been interesting about Goody's drafts? Each year they've picked a position and they get three of them. There was the three running backs, Jones, Williams, and Devontae Mays, the three receivers.
That was
MVS, EQ. That was Ted, correct. MVS, EQ, and Moore. And then this last year they did it with the interior line with Hansen, Stepaniak, and Runyon.
So next year, would they take three corners? If they let
that might be the one.
Or do they take three defensive linemen because they can use those too?
I noticed none of you guys are betting on them taking three receivers. Not that they need it, but that's the common narrative and the easy, I don't know if I'm using revisionist history in the right context, but all it takes is for the Packers to have one week that they struggle on offense, and it's the argument again about how dumb it was that the Packers took all these players early that aren't going to play this year, and instead didn't stock up the offense and didn't stack the cupboard at receiver.
Well, we did the draft thing together, and I didn't mind. I still don't mind the Love pick, and I love that. There's a story. I know, Paul. I know you saw it. That I can't remember. Tyler Dunn wrote it.
Really well done.
Really good story about Love, and I was okay. The Dylan pick will always bother me. It will always bother me because not that I wanted a wide receiver there because they were gone. I might have wanted a defensive, somebody to help on defense there, a linebacker, a lineman. And again, if Dylan turns out to be a great player, I'll say, okay, they knew what they were doing. I was wrong. But man, I just looking at this team now, give me a second round defensive lineman and I'm not as worried about stopping Miles Sanders tomorrow. And I'm not as worried about Dalvin Cook. And I'm not as worried about, the backs I'm going to see in the playoffs, Derrick Henry in another month. And I'm thinking, my Super Bowl aspirations are a little higher right now.
And I just wanted to read a quick quote from that article. It was Love's former offensive coordinator at Utah State. He said, Love is no doubt at his best when he's throwing on time in the rhythm of the offense with an attack mentality. You wonder why LaFleur wanted him so bad. But that's also a sign of why Love can be successful in this system. That's what it is to a T.
Yeah, and that's what you hope for if you're going to transition. I don't really want to talk about that. One of the quarterbacks having one of his best seasons, and I still have aspirations of him going out on top and with a Lombardi trophy held up high, but you know, I don't know if the Steelers plan on losing a game this season or
they do, and
I hope. Yeah. I mean, at the way things are going right now, I'm already excited, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'm already excited for that Steelers Chiefs AFC championship game that I believe is going to be the case. Baltimore just unfortunately is not what they've been. Don't count out Tennessee. You want to talk about a game that's worrisome because of how well the team runs the football. The Titans and Derrick Henry, I mean, you know, the over under on the yards he's going to put up in week, you know, what is that, week 16? Is going to be it's going to be an interesting proposition.
Right now I have it at 304.
Oof. God, that's terrible. 300 yard. What's the NFL record? What's the NFL record for yards in a game?
I don't know, but he might get it if they don't do something.
Oh, I don't care if he gets it. If it
front, I'll tell you right now, if Patton comes out with a two-man front and nickel linebackers out there, Derrick Henry can get whatever many yards he wants.
It's over. Not going to happen. Well, that might become a game the Packers cannot afford to lose if they want to grab the one seed because, you know, I don't want to get all hyperbole here, but they probably need to win out if they want that one seed. You never know what else is going to happen around them, but there's a lot of teams that are just not losing games this year. So as far as the Packers Eagles go, I haven't looked at the latest line, but it can't be too much in the favor
eight and
of
a half.
Eight
and a half, something like that.
Yeah, Philadelphia. Just come out,
which is
just
smaller than I thought.
Well, come out fast, start fast, and just don't look back and do it. You know, do it if they can have the same game against Philadelphia that they did in 2014 when they hosted the Eagles. I think they put up 50 points against Philly in that season. That sounds good to me. Just, you know, roll it up. Get Tim Boyle out there to kneel it out. Rodgers in a ball cap. All the things we talk about, we hope we see at the end of the game. And moving on to the following week, where the Packers will head to Detroit, face the Lions for the last time this season. And the Lions are, you know, they've got a new coaching staff. So who knows? Maybe they'll actually try to play hard for a couple weeks. But again, it's still the Lions, right? So
you know, every team that fired their coach this year, the Packers have played.
Okay.
Right? Lions, the Falcons, and the Texans.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well,
I don't know what that means.
Doug Peterson, yeah. I'm sorry, man. Former Packer, and you know, I've got a soft spot in my heart because, you know, Doug Peterson played some nice years for the Packers. And the reason why I have a soft spot in my heart is because he never had to play and disappoint me because Brett Favre never came out of the game.
Exactly.
So, all right, guys, Packer Report this week. Mark, what do we have to look forward to?
Well, again, as Paul alluded to earlier, I have a story up now about the offensive line and how it was built and how a lot of the credit goes to the GM and his staff for putting this together. And then after the game, I'll have my instant analysis. Hopefully it'll be a positive one. And then during the week, we'll see what happens leading up to the Lions game.
All right. Paul over at Dairyland Express.
Did a lot of my preview stuff as usual. I got my three X factors for this game, my five big questions. And then it's been a while, dusted off the crystal ball, brought back bold predictions on Saturday. So go check that out. Next week, I'll let you know how I did.
Excellent.
Give us one of them now. Give us one of them, Paul.
Paul and I.
Defense. Well, the defense comes away with five sacks and two turnovers.
Ooh, okay. I'll take that.
On paper, you would think that's about what it should be. I mean, the Packers haven't had five sacks in a game all season.
They haven't faced the Eagles offensive line all season.
That's true. That's very true. That's very true. All right, Rashawn Gary, it's time to break out.
There you go.
It's time to break out this week. So, excellent. Well, game recap, a game on Wisconsin for me after the game, and then Paul and I will be with over at Pulse of the Pack at Game on Wisconsin on Saturday afternoon. Flying without Jacob Westendorf, who, as I mentioned, got called into work. So it'll just be Paul and I, and we'll expand some more on some of the stuff that we talked about today. So everybody, as always, stay warm now that we've gotten into winter. Stay safe, and go Pack, go.